See the hats? Children's hats, aren't they sweet? Heather and Tony's daughter Sophie and her friends made those yesterday. When we come to satsang, we come to associate with truth. That's what satsang means, association with truth or company of truth. And what that looks like, and that sounds so philosophical and abstract, doesn't it? Like we're all blank slates walking around like little robots with a lot of philosophical input that somehow leads us here. But what brings us here is much more practical than any kind of philosophical impulse. What brings us to satsang is our own thinking and our emotional states. That's what brings us to satsang. Either that or we feel we're already enlightened, but we still have all these emotional states, circumstances, and thoughts coming up, and we're not really sure what to do about them. So when we come to satsang, there should be complete relief. In other words, when we come with this impulse to be calm, to be at peace, to be loving, to be wise, we should get what we come for. So, you're in the right place. You're definitely in the right place. Not only in a practical way, but also in the most sublime philosophical way. Who everyone already is, all 7 billion people in the world, we already are all-inclusive awakened awareness. And that awakened awareness is like the vast expanse of infinite space. It's never been restricted or interrupted by anything. Its nature is pure, total purity. And everything that occurs within that space of all awakened awareness is also originally pure. Just as on an island of gold, there would be nothing but gold, so also with an all-inclusive awakened awareness, everything that occurs, all thoughts, feelings, sensations, actions, circumstances, people, places, and things are pure. And no one can make us realize that. All anyone can do, the guru, the teacher, or as I like to call it, the ultimate friend, all the ultimate friend can do is introduce us to that reality. They show us through the evidence in them that they are living that reality, and then in a simple human way, we know it's possible for us. So, you know, it's no big deal. This is a simple human matter. We then see it's possible for us. We see another human being, we hear their story about how all their thoughts, feelings, and sensations came to peace, and we see the evidence of that in their lives. In other words, the way they actually live their lives is evidence of that. And then we know it's possible for us too. So this is a very simple human proposition. In the same way that we learn anything else in life, how to be a teacher or a good student or a plumber or a bread baker or a homemaker or a parent or whatever it is, we learn that from other human beings. And so when it comes to the matter of our total and ultimate freedom, that too we learn from another human being. It's very simple. It's very straightforward, and it isn't any more complicated than that. Now, what that means is that when I say that all our thoughts, feelings, sensations, actions, circumstances, people, places, things, memories, whatever we might call them, I just sum them all up by calling them points of view. All those things I just mentioned, we'll put one label on all of them, points of view, and that's how I'll refer to them from now on. When all these points of view arise in already awakened awareness, they are all already timelessly free, naturally free. There is not a single one that has not ever been free. And all of them, no matter what they are, no matter what their dictionary label is, all of them are originally pure from the beginningless beginning. They've never been anything other than pure. If we take them to be only their dictionary definition, then we'll spend our whole life just with our awareness involved in dictionary definitions and taking them all to be real. But if we realize that the essence of each one of these points of view is awakened awareness, already timelessly free, then we have the whole package. Then our vantage is correct. Our vantage is accurate. Our vantage is no longer erroneous. And this is not a destination or state. Enlightenment, self-realization, true self-realization or enlightenment is not a destination or state. It's timeless freedom as each perception. Timeless freedom as each perception. We're not trying to erase all perceptions from the blackboard of awareness. We're not trying to hit the delete key and make everything vanish from the monitor of awareness. Awareness is inclusive of all perceptions, and the only self-realization there has ever been that is truly authentic is that which is totally free as the immediacy of every perception. So at the same time that this is indescribable, it is not unfathomable. Because it is naturally present. We can't deny that all the points of view of our very own awareness are naturally present. They simply are. They're countless and ceaseless. So if we try to reorganize the points of view in order to get enlightened, we'll never be enlightened. If we try to get a lot more positive points of view, and get rid of negative points of view, it'll be impossible to be enlightened. If we by any chance get enlightened, it will be rarer than, you know, once in 100 million years. Because non-duality means everything is included. Absolutely everything is included. So there's no way to contrive what already is included. So all we can do is rest naturally as the awareness that is the fruit, that is the essence, that is the immediacy of every single perception. To just rest totally spaciously, openly, with the panoramic vista of pure space, without needing to make up anything about what's going on. And when we do so, all these thoughts, sensations, emotional states, circumstances that seem so troublesome, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, they come to perfect peace. They come to perfect peace that is their essence. They come to perfect peace through not excluding anything. Through not excluding anything that arises. So you see, this sounds great, doesn't it? And everyone in this room already is this, and I know everyone in this room already realizes this to one degree or another. So, you know, all we can do is rest naturally, rest freely. And when we do so, when we rest freely as the immediacy of every perception, then we give ourselves the ultimate kindness. Because then we're prepared for any perception that arises. There's no perception that can take us out of awakening. There's no perception whatsoever that can take us out of awakening. It's impossible that that could be the case because we grow gradually to familiarize ourselves with the essence of awareness that is the immediacy of every perception. There's no someone over here who is awareness and a perception over here. There's only awareness as perception. All points of view, no matter what they are simply the dynamic energy of awareness. So self-realization is the unity of this awareness with its dynamic energy. It's dynamic energy that has been taken to be something else. That's all. It's really simple. And this can only come about through freedom and immediacy of perception. When we rest naturally without seeking anything, we find that there is an uncontained warmth that arises. We can actually feel this in our body. An uncontained warmth that arises, that is the warmth of bliss, love, and compassion, and wisdom. And this is our natural state. And all we have to do is rest to realize this warmth. All we need to do is rest. And as we grow to know ourselves as we really are, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, we prepare ourselves for the ultimate point of view we'll all have to face, the epitome of point of view every human being faces, death. So you see, when we familiarize ourselves so thoroughly with our true nature, with the essence of awareness as each perception, when it comes to death, we're ready. We're ready. We can just let go in evenness, let go in the supreme equalness as awareness. So you see, this is very, very practical. Now, another great practical benefit of living as awareness is that when we take the points of view to be real, then it's like living in a valley and just being able to see what's right around us. But when we rest as awareness, we rise to the summit. And then our vantage, from that vantage, we can see everything. We can see everything. So what that means in a practical way is that we develop the balanced view that is already inherent in us, because we are all knowing and we can see everything within awakened awareness just as it is. We have a balanced view of what's going on. We have transcended extremes. All of our expressions are love, with no one excluded. And this balanced view has no contempt in it. It has no contempt. A balanced view sees everything. It can instantaneously investigate and make sense of everything, because that is inherent in it. So, you know, at no time in human history have we ever needed a balanced view more than we need it now. Humankind needs this balanced view in order to survive. In order to save ourselves, we need this balanced view. If we continue to operate within the extremes of cause and effect, causality, we'll continue to see this deterioration that all of us are so palpably aware of today. It's just so obvious, you know, to each of us that there is this mounting tension among humankind. So, you know, we must first of all make ourselves a peace zone. Each one of our perceptions, no matter what it is a peace zone. It's a peace zone. But if we make it into something, then it's a war zone. So rest is best, to just rest, to allow each perception to be as it is. Now, you know, sometimes when people come here, they say, well, I don't know how to rest. Well, you don't really need to rest in any particular way. Some people just keep returning here, and then more and more, there's natural rest without trying to do so. For others, it requires resting in the freedom of immediate perception, just resting as that perception itself in order that it not be elaborated into a big story. And what is of tremendous support to resting naturally when for many, many decades we've been focusing our awareness on so many points of view, what is of tremendous support to resting naturally are the four comforts of the Great Freedom Teaching. And the four comforts are resting naturally, the teacher, the teaching, and the community. Practically what that means is resting naturally, as I've just described. The teacher, I'm a Great Freedom Teacher, but there are other Great Freedom Teachers too. I think there are about 25 Great Freedom Teachers now throughout the world. And so, as I described earlier, a teacher is someone who is already living as this freedom, and they've integrated their points of view, all of them, or almost all of them, and they know how to support us in integrating our points of view through the Great Freedom Teaching. So throughout the world, there are Great Freedom communities where people can be with other people, the Great Freedom community, and share a grassroots community of mutual support for awakening. The teaching has three series. First, the 12 inquiries, which are a wonderful 13-day process that completely opens up the capacity to be at natural rest without trying to do so, even for people who are absolutely certain it's totally impossible for them to rest. It is amazing the way that it works. It loosens the grip on all the points of view that have been focused on for so many years. And it does it really without effort. Really, when you consider that it takes decades to put all these points of view in place, what can 13 days be? So, you know, for many people say, well, I just can't come to peace with all this thinking. I get overwhelmed by it. I can't rest naturally. I just spin out into all these stories. I try to rest naturally, but I can't. I keep coming to satsang, but I still can't rest naturally. Well, you know, take the shortcut, the 12 inquiries teaching. You know, the 12 inquiries it's really, really amazing. It is so amazing in just allowing us to be able to totally relax. And it does this in a very definitive way, a very definitive way. One of the reasons that most people can't rest or find it difficult to get in touch with that natural rest that's already the case is that the points of view come up and then we're blindsided by them. We're totally blindsided. All of a sudden we're spinning out into all these stories, elaborating all these points of view, totally lost in them, and we don't even know how that happened. So the beauty of the 12 inquiries is we're no longer blindsided by our points of view. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. We're no longer blindsided by our points of view because during the process of the 12 inquiries, we come to see in a very clear way what our points of view are, how they've affected us, how they've affected our relationships, and all our relationships that have been affected by our points of view. We come to terms with those and we complete those. So we come into harmonious accord, affinity, and warmth with everyone in our lives. And all of this makes it much easier for us to rest naturally. Much easier. If we don't know what our points of view are, then it's very likely they'll blindside us. You know, suddenly we'll be dizzied with all these points of view. We won't know what happened. So the 12 inquiries teaching couples the growing realization of the full evidence of awareness with the cutting through the solidity of point of view so that they truly are inseparable. That points of view and awareness truly are inseparable. It's very, very powerful. The second series of teachings of great freedom is called The Power of Wisdom. And there are three teachings within The Power of Wisdom: the basic space of rest, pure space, and the way of rest. And all of these are just the totally sublime speaking of what the reality of our being is. That's all they are. It's the complete resolution of point of view in, of, as, and through awareness. And the last series of teachings is called The Principles of Unity and Service. And the Principles of Unity and Service offer an opportunity in a way for all of global human culture, including the Great Freedom Community, to come together within the organization of the Great Freedom Community, as well as to provide leadership for all organizations in all communities based on awareness, unity, and service for all. And there is no teaching like the Great Freedom Teaching. And there's definite, although it stands on the shoulders of all the great tradition that has ever been, there's nothing new here. However, the principles of unity and service are an effortless way for us to be together in a very practical way where our common welfare comes first. You see, in awareness, common welfare comes first. That's all there is. The emanation of benefit, of awareness. The emanation of benefit is all that all-inclusive awareness is. When we're thinking about ourselves all the time and how much money we need to make and what we need to do to get enlightened and and what we need to do to be a good person, and when we're thinking of all these things all the time, it's all focused on us. And you know, our thinking very often is filled with gossip and criticism about ourselves and about other people and about the world we live in. But it's all focused on us, on the idea of a personal identity that exists and needs something for itself. Well, the more that we rest naturally, the more we realize we've never been that personal identity. We've always been awakened awareness. That's all we've ever been. And as we taste that and more savor the flavor of it, we realize that our true nature isn't this body, speech, and mind that are focused on a personal identity. Our true nature, our true body, speech, and mind is nothing but this emanation of benefit. This emanation of benefit that is the totality, where more and more all of our thinking, speaking, and action are focused on the benefit of the whole. This is the reality of awakened awareness, the island of gold on which everything is gold. It emanates the luster of gold, an island of gold. And the luster of the island of gold is this emanation of great benefit, of magnificent benefit, of potent benefit, of the benefit we so much need for humankind today. So I really invite all of you to take up the opportunity to fully be who you are in every possible way. And all that is freedom as immediate perception. You see, what is unborn awareness has no dwelling place or destination. So there's nothing about us that needs to get enlightened. We already are enlightened. And that enlightenment is freedom as immediate perception. It's nothing other than that. Oh, I wanted to read you a letter that I received from one of the great freedom teachers. In Montana, which is a state in the United States, there is a great freedom community. And there are four great freedom teachers in the state of Montana. And this letter came from one of the teachers, Mia. And I'm going to read it to you because this will give you a very real idea of what great freedom is. Dearest Candace, what an amazing call last night. I was totally inspired, and it was a beautiful way to end a wonderful great freedom weekend. And what she's talking about here is that we have an international teacher's call once a week. And so she was referring to that call. Our new 12 Inquiries Intensive is truly incredible. The humility in Montana is so naturally expressed. We also had a great day with our existing community. We shared more of the way of rest, and it was a beautiful day. The value letters were full of testimonials of the community's lives changing and the total commitment and recognition of the true value of this teaching. The community in Hamilton, Montana all drove to Missoula, Montana together, and after the intensive we had dinner. We laughed and talked about living as awareness, and it was so amazing to see these people totally connected with one another and living as a true human family. They have come together with different ages, sexes, economic backgrounds, and careers. But the commonality of living as awareness unites them all in the most incredible way, the natural way. This must be amazing to witness in the international community of India. Thank you so much, Candace. As my family goes off to spend a weekend skiing and getting to know someone, I rest naturally and allow life to organically unfold. I truly do not know what anything is, but only know that serving the whole is the only life I want to live, the only one I can now live. It feels like I am watching the pictures of life go by, resting as love with nothing to do but show up to serve in all ways. If ever an opportunity to move beyond a personal self arose, it is here, in every moment of the timeless spaciousness of all, just by relaxing as love with no description or elaboration. From this place, all movement carries forth as the dynamic energy. What a display! Thank you for all that you are doing in India. I am so very excited, and my gratitude seems to grow every day, bursting at the seams. Although I yearn to be at your side, I feel you with me always. Thank you. It is such a comfort. Thank you for the opportunity to live as this basic spaciousness and profound naturalness as a human being, and the opportunity to share this total naturalness with others. This teaching is bringing more practical, permanent relief to the planet than anything else I know of. It is so effective, so full-blown, the only true service for humanity. I love you, Mia. So there's the practical side. Letters from the trenches. The trenches of awareness. So, you know, it's so amazing that what we are, it's just so easy. And it is, as Mia says in her letter, it's so totally natural. And it is, I'm sure when I read the letter, you could just feel the warmth, the total warmth in that letter. And this warmth, it's so important to our days, to today's world, and it's something that we really experience very little of in our lives most of the time. Many times when people come to the Great Freedom Teaching, it's one of the first things they mention, the warmth that is here, that, you know, no one is ignored. Everyone who is new here, we know you're new. And we know you're here, and we're happy you're here. We notice that you're here. You're not invisible. So you see, warmth is like that. It includes everyone. It really sees what's going on. This is part of the balanced view. It can really see what's going on and embrace all in its warmth. This is a warmth, you know, where no one is excluded. In the Great Freedom Community, no one can make you go away. No one can make you go away. Through our principles of unity and service, it is absolutely clear that no one can ever make anyone go away. And it's a community of complete honoring of everyone and complete support of everyone, no matter what they're going through. So, you know, there's never any point of view that can come up that could banish anyone from the Great Freedom Community. Great Freedom's all inclusive, so who would banish what? Who would banish what? Who would ostracize whom? You know, if we ostracize anyone, we ostracize ourselves. That's all we're doing, you know, through our failure to rest naturally. If we have a bunch of gossip going on in our heads about someone, or we're speaking that gossip, oh, we're causing ourselves such incredible harm. It's just the most immense harm. It's just, oh, you know, we may as well be cutting our wrists, because it's just like doing something like that. It's such an act of violence to ourselves to allow ourselves to persist in these ways that cause us so much anxiety, when all the while, natural rest is right here. And at first it may seem difficult to stop things like gossiping, but when we have the temptation to gossip, when that impulse comes up, when we just rest rather than elaborating the story of gossip, we're totally free, and all there is love in which everyone's included. So who would gossip about whom? You know, what would we be gossiping about? We'd be gossiping about ourselves, we find. So, you see, at first that it may seem like moving Mount Everest to stop that flow of gossip, but, you know, we can't do it through trying. All we can do is rest as the immediacy of that perception of gossip, not take it to be real, not take it to be anything. And as we do so, oh, we find tremendous relief. Just because other people are gossiping doesn't mean we need to. We don't need to speak. We can just stand there and say, the time has come for me to go. Yeah. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. And when we do so, then we find less and less do we have the gossip arise in our head. You know, we just don't have that point of view of gossip arise as much. So, you know, and then eventually it just becomes unthinkable. It just can't happen. You know, it can't happen. So this is very practical, this freedom in immediate perception. It is the direct route. The direct route. The very, very direct route. Not only the direct route for each of us as human beings, but the direct route for a web of humanity all over the globe who is united as the non-dual perspective, the non-dual perspective of awareness in which no one is left out. Would anyone like to come up and share about the practical value of the Great Freedom Teaching, the benefit in your life?
Morning. Namaste.
Namaste.
My name's Adrian. I've been here almost right from the beginning, and I could say practically, well, when I arrived, first of all, every time I get up here I say the same story, so I apologise again to everyone that's heard it a lot of times, but I've done a lot of reading, and I've been to a lot of satsangs with different people, and I was generally just unhappy all the time, and I thought I was unhappy all the time, and depressed, and so I came here. That was before I'd done any of the courses here, and I did the 12 inquiries, the way of rest in pure space, and throughout that the process, it was just noticeably less chatter going on in my head and just getting more and more relaxed. And it's great. It's practically, it's just sort of an ease that just is just there. That's the only way I can describe it. And I would also say that I didn't believe that it would work. So I thought, you must have some, there must be some element of devotion or something to make this work. But take it from me, well, my experience is that you don't have to have any belief or anything, you just turn up. And by just turning up, something happened, which is, I mean, it's amazing I used to have this anxiety, yeah, all the time, and it's just not there anymore. And also, I mean, I've got an experience to relate to you as well. A few days ago, I was just overwhelmed with sadness, but there was no cause for it, and there was nothing to pin onto it. So I was on my friend's balcony, and I thought it might have had something to do with their biscuit barrel was really empty. So it wasn't. It had nothing to do with anything. And what you learn is what the teaching has exposed is that positive and negative feelings, they just come, they just appear, and then they go. And this feeling was probably there for a couple of hours, and then it wasn't there. So, if you can do the course, or just come to satsang, I highly recommend you do it. Because it's very nice just to be able to, whatever happens, whatever comes up, just to be completely at ease. So, thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful, Adrian. And I'm glad you mentioned the sadness, because it's so amazing when we've tried to apply antidotes to our thinking and our emotional states by doing all these things to get rid of them or change them or whatever it is. Analyze them, that's a big one today, all the self-help books. What we find that when we rest naturally, the sadness, something like sadness, it's just a label. You know, it's the vivid appearance of sadness, part of the magical display, yet our essence is at total rest. Our essence is at total rest as that sadness. It doesn't mean we renounce it or indulge it, because you see the perception of sadness is there only when we're thinking sadness, describing it. If we have a sensation that we feel something, and then we say, oh, sadness, you know. Just rest, no matter what it is. Would anyone else like to share? Kathy? And then Julian?
I was just thinking, because before I met Candace in Great Freedom, I was, that was 3 months ago, or 4 months by now, and I studied psychology. I worked 5 years in that field, and I was trying for myself and for other people how they can cope with sadness, anger, anxiety, all those things, depression. And I was seeing there also, with all the theories, with all the analyzing and indulging in all those things, you could get a little relief, and then it came back, or it came back in a different way, or it shifted there. And we were mixing all those things together, building this, building that. And I built for myself, and I built for other people, and I helped them build something with their points of view, or with all their emotional states and all their stories. It was a big pile we had always in front of us. So I had to settle something with it. And now, when I quit that, I knew I will find something. I went off with my husband, and we said, we'll find something that brings us freedom and happiness and stable. We have to find something. So we can integrate it together. I thought we will integrate it with the psychology and something. So we went here, and we came, after 1 year traveling, we came to Great Freedom, and there it was. So easy, what to do is resting and not indulging and going into a totally complete different than I did before many, many years. And it works. I did for myself, for all my feelings, all my stories, all my things. I didn't know how to rest and first. So I thought, oh, I have to try very hard. But it came, everything automatic integrated, only showing up here, doing the teachings, only being in the teaching, you don't have to do anything, and automatic, the rest comes automatic. Also my points of view, I had sometimes really huge points of view, integrated automatically straight. So. Yeah, so that was the answer to all my questions. And it makes so, you feel happy and you feel ease through everything. Also, when something comes up, you rest automatic. Other things don't come up. And also I can see my thinking as a psychologist, that all vanished. I don't have that pattern how I thought before. Like I see something, I think, oh, that's the story in the childhood, and it makes this and that and this. All that this thinking what you learn when you are a psychologist. Completely. I just, a few days ago, I thought, look at that. I stopped that completely for myself and for others.
Thank you. Julian. Hello, Julian.
Hello, I'm Julian. It was my balcony he was on. You'd be pleased to know he's covered his bases. He came around yesterday with a huge bag of biscuits. So that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I've known Adrian for not far off 20 years, and I mean, I can say that the difference I see in him is amazing. And I've just been through the 12 inquiries myself. We just finished the other day. And having seen the changes in me and the process at work in me, I can understand why he's so different, why there's been such a massive weight that's just lifted off him. And with everyone else that goes through it as well, you know. And there was something that came up in the letter about... I realize I know nothing, and then she went on to say something else. And I found that was such an important part of the inquiries, because the amazing thing about it is it's such a simple instruction to just look at your belief systems, look at your attitude towards things, and see what it actually is. And there's no massive event, there's no massive anything that happens. You just look at your most fundamental assumptions that you've always had, and you just look at them and you go, oh yeah, that's what I believe, isn't it? And then all of a sudden it just falls away. It's really bizarre. But that statement really said it all, because as soon as you realise all these things that I think I know that are confining me like this, and they're causing this tension, this like vibration of tension that's really subtle that you don't even know it's there. And as soon as you look at all the structure that you've always taken to be real, and all of a sudden that's not there, you realise, I don't know anything. and then as soon as you don't know anything, that releases and you can see. It's really amazing. This freedom in immediate perception is so, it's so totally radical. Because you right in the moment, you're just aware of what you're aware of. You realise you don't know anything, because knowing anything is all from the past and it's all points of view. And so you can actually see what's right in front of you. And before, you're so conditioned, you can't see what's right in front of you. It really does just open you to just seeing the most basic. Just sitting on a chair is a wonderful experience. And you'd have just sat there waiting for a bus, being really bored, just going, thinking about stuff, poor me, I'm sitting here waiting for a bus. You know? And then all of a sudden you can sit here and just realise it's so amazing.
Anyway. Thanks, Julian. Thank you. Thank you.
Tony, come up here. I haven't heard from Tony in a while. I've known Tony for 3 years, so. Oh, Tony, I wanted to see you jump over that wire.
I was enjoying the English contingent, but
what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now.
Well, what it was like was torture. I think I've always kind of really worried about things and had a lot of anxiety, just that unnamed anxiety pretty much most of my life, you know. There wouldn't actually have to be, sometimes I couldn't identify anything wrong, but I would feel tremendous anxiety. And I became used to it, you know, it was my normal state. My normal state seemed to me to be just to be anxious, you know, to always have, I was constantly massaging myself, you know, my muscles are always tight. So that was what it was like, and I also did a lot of therapy, you know. I was in a psychodrama group for 6 years, which I don't know if anyone's ever done psychodrama. You really get into it. It's not just passively sitting there, you know. You get involved in the drama. And other people are, you know, you play parts in the drama, other people's parts. And actually, for most of those things, women show up more than men. So sometimes I was in the group, there was 8 women and just me. And I always played all the abusive. I was the abusive fathers, the abusive husbands, the abusive brothers, you know. I played all these parts, so I had every week I had these women lining up to try and tear me apart, you know. So, but it was, I enjoyed it, you know. It was what I was used to. I'm one of a family of 12, so I was used to getting abuse from all angles, so I could deal with it. So, anyway, that was kind of what it was like, and I came I wasn't really a seeker per se of non-duality or, you know, spiritual teachers. I wasn't a seeker like that, even though I was always searching for something, you know, usually through psychology mostly, I was searching for relief. And I started becoming very interested in symbolism, religious symbolism, just before I met Candace, you know. So I was always looking for something. I thought if I could grasp a symbol or something that would somehow pull me through this. I knew there was something else. I knew, as much as I was born or I was familiarized with the tension and stress of not knowing who I truly am, I knew there was something else. Somewhere in me just said, there's something else. There's got to be. So, you know, Heather, actually, my wife, met Candace first, and then I start coming to Great Freedom. And I'm a skeptic. I told Candace recently that I kind of came for a long time trying to find out, you know, like, kind of come up with the ultimate question that would totally trick Candace. You know, to find that question. I was stirred and I was saying, okay, what is she saying? What's she really saying? You know, what does she really mean? You know, I'm very suspicious of everybody and everything. So a lot of the time I came with the motivation of finding her, you know, her weak spot, and I was going to expose her. But I will just say one thing on the front. You know, I haven't found it yet. You know, she keeps finding my weak spots and exposing them. Which is all my mentation, basically, is everything I think it comes on those lines. And I'll just give a quick thing about the practical living of awareness. And you know, there are times I think, you know, I'm not aware. I'm just, where is it? You know, but yet my life has totally changed. It's not a state that I can grab and hold on to, you know, it doesn't seem to be that way, but yet everything is changing. But I 2 years ago I was diagnosed with cancer, stomach cancer, and the cancer had spread not only from my stomach, it had gone into my lymph nodes and it was kind of going all through my body. And but one thing I remember through the whole process was there was no drama. When I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, it was a shock, and I went, oh my God, I wasn't expecting it at all. I just didn't think in those terms. So, you know, but through the whole process, there was very little drama. It was just like, okay, I got cancer. Now, what's the next step? Now, you go and see an oncologist, you know, and then they tell you what you have to do. Go see a surgeon, you know, to take out most of your stomach if you got stomach cancer, you know. And then you go to, you know, then what's the next step? You know, you go and do chemotherapy. And so you get a lot of advice when you have cancer, you know, almost. Everybody in the world knows somebody who, you know, if you eat orange peels or if you do this or do that, you get cured of cancer. That's amazing. I was so surprised at how many people know how to cure cancer. And I'm not an alternative. I don't go into alternative medicine that much. So I had that. So it took, you know, I used mostly the Western medicine. But then there was, you know, like about 7 or 8 people told me about this Chinese herbalist that would help me with, you know, my immune system as I went through the Western medicine. So finally, even though I wasn't that way inclined, after 7 or 8 people told me, I thought, well, maybe, they told me about the same person too. I thought, okay, well, maybe I should go see this guy, which was a great decision. It really was helpful. So all I just wanted to say, and you know, a lot of times I'd be sick. I'd be feeling very sick in the house, and Heather, who was totally bright and, you know, awakened, you know, the phone would ring constantly, people wanted to know how I was doing, and, you know, Heather, oh, he's doing fantastic, you know, and she was just all bubbly, you know, you think, instead of having cancer, you think I'd won the lottery, you know. So it was a very strange experience in that there was very little drama. It was just like, what do I do now? Rest and just go through it, you know. And, you know, as you can see, I'm still here. I'm still resting naturally. You know, I don't know where the cancer's gone, but it seems to have disappeared at this moment, you know.
Even though they said it wouldn't.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that if you rest naturally, your body will never die. I don't think that's going to happen. But the point is, there was not really a fear of dying. The fear of dying wasn't there. All the drama, I realized very clearly that I didn't know whether this was going to kill me or not, kill the body or not. And I also realized very clearly that there's nobody in this room today that knows whether they're going to live or die today. You know, whether their body is going to be still here tonight. Nobody realized that. That's just the way it is. There's nothing to hang on to. You can't hang on to your body or any kind of life expectancy. So the only choice left with that information is just to be here now. So,
thanks, Tony. Thank you very much.
Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask? There's no point of view worth hanging on to. In fact, it's impossible to hang on to any point of view. Because all points of view, no matter what they are, they're like a line drawn in water. Have you ever drawn a line in water? What happens? It vanishes without a trace. You don't need to do anything. And such is the case with all points of view. Nothing need be done. Nothing need be said about them or anything else. They arise, abide, and are freed instantaneously as aware basic space and nothing else. So why get all wrapped up in them when they vanish on their own? There's nothing we need to do, and there's no one to do it. You know, there's no personal identity in there that's a storehouse of all the points of view. Awareness is the only storehouse of points of view, only awareness. There's no personal somebody that we need to smash, disidentify with, erase off the blackboard of awareness. There's no personal identity in there anywhere. You know, when I look inward, I don't find anything. I can't find a personal identity in there anywhere. No matter how far I look, up and down and all around, there's no personal identity in there anywhere. The personal identity is just a point of view in vast spaciousness. If I look outward, there are vivid appearances, all glorious, all magnificent, all part of the wondrous display. Yet each one, pure space. What can you say about any of that? And you see, if I know this is true about me, what does that say about all of you? It just says that's all that is. You know, that's all that is. This is the natural state. It's what's the case for each of us, with no one left out. And all of that is a reality of ease, a reality of comfort, a reality of natural rest that's available right here as every single point of view, not separate from any point of view. Awakening, enlightenment, liberation, being truly human, it isn't separate or apart from point of view. Awareness is all its perceptions. Awareness is all its points of view. Awareness is its dynamic energy. There's never been a separation of any kind. And when we rest, we just become familiar with our natural state. It's very direct. We'll sit quietly for a few minutes before we close. Mm-hmm.